What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, I've been away. You didn't do the show without me. You absolute failure. So tell the people what they're in for. Damn straight.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no see. A 2-week hiatus out of any show. So that's fun. There should have been a show last week, but GroupMe wasn't having it, apparently. We're working against GroupMe now. So great. But yeah, no shows. But we have two slated for this week. Let's hope nothing happens in the meanwhile.
And we're going to have the U.S. economy tanks for like the fifth time in 2 weeks,
NFL
mock draft still be here tomorrow.
Coming up later this week.
I think we should tear.
I heard there's tariffs that were cut yesterday. So that's fun. I mean, all you get from us is like wine and the thing or another, I think. But it's mostly wine. It's like 80% plus. Yes. That's the port wine is what you import the most out of us. And yeah, we like our wine just as much. So if you don't want our wine, I guess that's fine, dude.
You use inferior grapes.
But yeah, so later this week, 2025 mock draft is coming. But today we're throwing a curveball at you. We are doing a wrestling show for today because WrestleMania is around the corner.
I thought it was last week.
I thought it was last week.
Wait, is WrestleMania? No, it's next. Okay. Well, at least we're not complete failures.
Okay.
At least
okay.
We're not complete. Just sort of.
You were in a different realm. I thought it was around the same time as the NFL draft. So, which was going to be a bummer, and it's going to be a bummer for me, the NFL draft, because for the first time since I can remember, I'm not going to be able to watch the first round live, which sucks. Or something? No, I am going on Friday. So the NFL draft is from, at my time at least, it's from Thursday to Friday. So it's like midnight between the two days. And on Friday at like 6 a.m., I have a flight to catch going to London. So I'm going to have a little trip to London. I'm not really going to be able to watch the NFL draft, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to watch the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I don't think you're in a position to insult our food when your food, your main dishes aren't given yours.
I didn't know you have patents on food now.
Like, what's an American?
What's an American dish? Fucking pizza, hamburgers, and Philly cheesesteaks, and French fries. That's what.
No, I'm
that's
sorry, but what's your food? Nice. So pizza from Italy, hamburger from I don't know Hamburg,
yeah,
German,
yeah,
and yeah,
that's
I guess
something
you get
I
Philly
know you're never
steak.
Gonna try.
Congrats,
because you
dude.
Would never
you
grow the balls to
food.
Go to Philly because of everything you've said about them, the slander that you've said on their name.
If I go, and right now it's looking very likely that I go to New York in October.
I hope when you get there, all the Philly fans
like,
are just
Philly
ready
is
with
the
baseball
closest
bats and just get
other
you to
city
a corner
that
and
I can
beat
visit.
You for your blasphemy against all their teams, basically. You don't watch baseball, and you probably hate the Philadelphia Phillies somehow.
But I'm pushing heavily against it.
Oh.
No, actually, like I have two players from them in my fantasy team.
I thought you had
I have
a no
Lizardo,
Philly, no
and I have Trey Turner
going on. So,
so I have those two going for me at least. No. Not in there. And actually, fun fact.
What? In
sadness? I am actually leading the league right now.
Oh, congratulations.
No. I'm first in the league, in the fantasy league.
What's happening is wrong right now. That makes me really sad.
And I don't even, knew anything about this.
Imagine it takes you longer to win a football championship.
I don't know, and all my pitchers are kind of shit outside of, three or four. And they aren't even aces. That would be fun. I have, one great pitcher, which is...
Oh, Michael King. Oh, San Diego.
The San Diego guy, the something King, Michael King.
Yeah. That great
Michael King.
He had an amazing start.
He's been acing it for me, but that's my one main guy. I have some good relief pitchers.
Okay, I think in his other starts.
He got one this past game, the game from yesterday or the day prior. Mm-hmm. He got 8 strikeouts and no hits, if I'm not mistaken, or some hits but no runs, something like that. But yeah, great game for him. I have some good relief pitchers, I've been streaming some starting pitchers
if you are into lost porn. I have
But Kyle Tucker has been doing some work
performances from streaming starting pitchers for you. What is the most?
Oh, I haven't the most actually experienced any of those, but I know those can go quite rough. There was actually one guy.
Oh, okay.
I don't know because, since this is categories, it's harder for me to access that. But I know that I think it was last week in the weekend, if I'm not mistaken. There was either Friday or Saturday. I started Randy Arozarena instead of James Wood. Actually, I started Victor Scott instead of James Wood. Yeah. Oh, and yeah. James Wood went off for two, I want to say it was 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, something like that. A great game for him. And I benched him for Victor Scott because I think the matchup versus the pitcher was actually better. And I was trying to improve on the steals. And Victor Scott is probably good at steals from what I've been reading. And Victor Scott did jack shit.
That was all.
And then the day after, I'm like, okay, after that, the day after, I'm like, okay, do I start Randy Arozarena or do I start James Wood? I'm like, okay, let's start James Wood. Great performance. I don't think great performances repeat often, on back-to-back days, but okay, let's try it. And Randy Arozarena, I think bases were loaded or there were 2 at base and he hits a home run late in the game. A home run, 3 RBIs. Yeah, fuck me. So I missed out on 3 home runs. I missed out on 7 RBIs. Great. But I'm still leading the league. I'm first right now.
So anyway. No, even if it's America's sport and I love America.
Okay, but we're not here to talk about baseball, right? We're here to talk about, but we're here to talk about another American sport. We're here to talk about wrestling and more importantly, WrestleMania. So, fair bit of warning. We're recording this 3 hours or 2.5 hours prior to Raw kicking off on Monday. But as we were seeing, it doesn't seem like this Raw will be all that much impactful.
I got a story for you.
The things scheduled for it right
now
are not
for you involving
the huge, the
no,
biggest.
It's kind of
so
off the
we're decided
path,
to go ahead
it's not
with
too
this
far
one.
Off the beaten path. What? So I'm from Ohio. And obviously I look at tickets in the Ohio area. Okay. So I sent my dad what it would cost for front row tickets. I think there was a SmackDown in or near Dayton and a Raw, if I'm not mistaken, in Columbus. And these aren't cheap sheets. These are these are front row tickets to where the like camera pans, like when someone's doing a promo, the side that the wrestler is looking at, it's that side. And I sent him the prices of the tickets and asked him if he wanted to go. Granted, I had every intention of paying for these tickets. Do you know what this man sent me? No, not the receipt. I sent him what it would cost, and I told him I'd pay it if he wanted to go.
With the ticket spot?
Do you know what he sent me? No. This man said, those tickets are not worth it. Don't
get them. And he sent you the receipt, no? Okay. Like,
financial whiz.
Okay, great. Thanks, Seth. Fuck wrestling, dude. Save the money. That's basically what he told you. Okay. So, I think, do you want to start with like a rundown or of how we got here? Or is that like, are we dumbing down the audience too much? Because it's
what do you
want to
talk about first?
The audience,
as far as things you're looking forward to. I mean, there's the obvious one.
Well, the obvious one, yeah, it's the main event of night two. Of course, that's like the big one. What did you think of the turn? Like, because we haven't actually discussed that live. We discussed that in the chat as it was happening. But how did you think the turn was? Do you think
it was
predictable?
Beautiful.
Like, do you think there's anyone else joining the Rock team?
I was very, very like nervous and anxious after Cena, you know, turned on Cody at the end of Elimination Chamber after he beat CM Punk. And I was like, okay, you did this, but you can't just do this. You have to, like, it has to mean something. There has to be a reason. It can't just be like, I'm just bad now to be bad. And I watched that first promo that John Cena had on Raw after he turned, and I was just like, this is so amazing. Like, John did so good. I felt fucking bad as he was like making his points. No, I think the thing I feel is that we were robbed of a more complete John Cena over the last two decades. That's how I feel about it. It's so good. So fucking good.
Yeah, but you realistically could never really turn him. From a business standpoint, because he's the Make-A-Wish guy, he's the merch guy. You know, it's even if you do want to turn him, and like, according to him, there was a point in time in which he was about to turn. Like, he had the gear, he had the song, he had all of that ready to go. And last second, they pulled the plug because, I mean, financially, it's probably a bigger risk than you're willing to take at that point. But yeah, at this stage, like, there's nothing really for him to lose. And I think it makes a lot of sense for us to see a final run with him as a heel. Although I have some thoughts about his heel run that are probably not going to be super aligned to yours. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I also thought the turn was great. By the point in which, like, he was in the ring with Rock Cody and, like, dumbass Trevor Scott just standing there. Travis Scott, you kind of could see that what was coming, and like, it was still well pulled, but like, when he was celebrating and whatnot, like, you still had the doubts, like, is it really gonna happen? And then the moment happens in which, like, the Rock says, like, cutthroat, and it's time to go. So yeah, after that, like, I also liked his rationale, sort of. I think there's some flaws in there, since it's like, for the last, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, since he retired, basically, or quote-unquote retired, like, the fans haven't really shown him any sort of disdain. So from that standpoint, I don't think it's, like, the most accurate turn, and, like, his arguments don't make the most sense. But I think that's nitpicking it, because it's, like, it's a guy that has been accumulating all of this anger that the people have towards him for, like, the better part of 10 years, 20 years, yeah. And it's like, now that I'm gone, like, everyone is cheering for me. But, like, when I was here doing it on a weekly basis, you guys weren't always on my side. When I always wanted to have the best and to do the best for this company that I could, and you were all against me. So, fuck you guys now. Like, I don't care about your cheering now, and I think that's how what is going to what has been saying basically. Yes, it's a bit like that. So I've liked the turn right now. I don't think there's been a whole lot. I think the promos he cut and whatnot were good. There's still no explanation as to what Rock has to do with any of this. So I don't necessarily think they have a plan for Rock, because according to most reports, like,
Rock, and then he dipped, right? He's not going to be part of this Mania now.
In wanting to be part of this Mania. So I think they're kind of in. I don't know. Like, I would be surprised if he's not, like, part of it in any sense. I think from all of the lead up, it's pretty. It's been implied that it's going to be there in some form. But so far, no announcement. But I don't really think you need to announce The Rock. If he pops it, it's a bit better. And you still have the questions, like, there's still the whole conspiracy theory that, like, on Bad Blood, when he came out, he said 1, 2, 3, then he left. Then when Cena turned deal, like, instead of, like, doing a single, like, slash of Detroit, he did it with two fingers, so now that it's two, so it's like he's counting down, and members are popping up, so that's still the conspiracy theory that's happening. Some have been saying that maybe a good switch here was to do a similar story with Jay, like having so many people boo him, and now he wins the title with the help of Rock, and now Rock will have both champions, in a sense. See, those are some of the storylines being like imagined right now, or people are expecting that to happen at some point. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. I don't really think that the fingers have any sort of meaning. I think Rock just said that he got a 3 count on Cody, and then, like, the symbol of the cutthroat was just a symbol. So I don't think it's anything special there. But we'll see. We'll see.
Sure.
That's
the
main
card.
Event of night two.
I just know the end of
night. Do you
want to
start with
exactly
night one, though? The matches coming up. I have the card. I don't think the order has been set, but I have the card. I have the matches on night one, and I have the matches
I'm
on
curious
night two. We
where
know
Gunther
that
versus
the triple threat
this,
is going to finish
gonna
night
start
one,
off
and
one
Cody
of the nights,
John
night.
Will finish night two. So,
all right, so they'll probably start the show.
They are on night one right now, so I think they start night. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So let's start with that one. Gunther versus Jay for the World Heavyweight Championship. Do you really think Jay's going to go over?
What, they're just going to have Gunther?
Oh, man.
Gunther beat him down and beat him down and beat him down and beat him down, and then they get to WrestleMania and it beats him down again? Like, really?
I think, and remember, on the start of night two, last year's Mania, I told you that Drew Seth was going to be a squash,
and I told you,
like,
that
immediately,
that was the case,
and they pulled that at the beginning, and it was a 2 count, a very...
We both were right about that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. No cash in this night. But I think there's going to be something similar here, in which, like, Gunther is going to start off super strong. There's going to be, like, a fake ending,
like,
almost. Like, it's going to be a very late kick out of a 2 count to start the match. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Before last week's Mania, I thought for sure Gunther was going to retain, because I don't know. I think they were playing off of the Jey Uso botches. And Jey Uso never really looks like the guy to me. It's like he always seems super tired when he gets off the ring out of all of those eats. I know he's a merch leader. I know he's all of that. And, like, the arena popping up for him every single time. I know that has
an
impact.
You,
But wrestling wise, man, I don't know, like Jey Uso never really convinces me of anything. I'm team no heat right now. But after last week's Raw, I think the promo that he cut was good. I think it appealed to the right things. I think there's maybe a bigger chance that Jey retains, Jey conquers the title. It still sucks that it's Jey Uso that is going to put an end to Gunther's reign. So I want to say that Gunther retires. Yeah, like I much rather have like Braun Breaker put an end to it or something like that.
Yes.
Like you're gonna give the title to Jey, and then like the probable next guy that comes for that title is either Punk or Breaker. If Breaker loses the title, that seems to be the path right now. The IC champion goes on to this title. And like you just had a couple of months ago, Jey versus Braun, and Braun like got the title away from him fairly clean. So I don't know how that's gonna work out. I don't know how long the Jey Uso reign will be if he gets the title. But I wanna say that it's a Gunther retain. Maybe I'm projecting that. I'm hoping for that.
I was about to say, it's not the more really the most logical thing,
because like you have this guy all built up with like all of this hype. And that, like,
that's
just
the tone
like...
you want to set at the start of the show.
Maybe it doesn't need to be a squash. I think it's a squash at the start. It looks like a squash. I wouldn't mind if like Jey Uso puts up a massive fight, but then Gunther retains at the end.
Gunther.
It is the most logical thing.
Jey Uso is your Philadelphia Eagles.
Man, that's a timeline I don't want to be in. maybe. Like I've never been a fan of his wrestling. Like the dude has like four moves. The one time in which he was given like a big the mic work alone puts that at like John Cena -. And like John at the ring, John could pull up the most like amazing matchups, not in the terms of like wrestling, because again, it's the five moves of doom and whatnot. But like he could tell a real story in a matchup. This dude couldn't even tell a story with his own brother. Like he put up a stinker.
Oh no.
With the guy that came off the womb.
That one was pretty
like,
harsh.
Or something. Like it tells you something. I know it's put in the work. I mean, it was a stinger of a WrestleMania match last year with his brother, so. I know he's put in the work. I respect that. I like the idea of Jey Uso, a guy that like did the work, came off of the tag division, built himself up. But it's just like, I understand the underdog story. Like, he lost to Gunther a couple pay-per-views ago as well. Like, clean in Berlin or something like that. But this doesn't seem like the spot. But hey, maybe Rock is involved here somewhere. So
maybe.
It makes this a bit better.
I wish I was. Sorry, go on.
Okay. WWE Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffy Time versus Charlotte Flair. I don't know if I'm being worked with that promo. That looked fairly off the script. Every report seems to say it's off the script. I don't know if Tiffany would pull off the script stuff, especially that personal with a Flair.
I'm not sure if it's working out, but if she did, you know what?
That seems
good
a
job,
bit excessive, I would say. Hey, I respect it. Like, Charlotte has never been one to shy away from pulling that sort of BS. So, hey, it's good to see someone pull that BS back. And actually, you know what? I think she retains the title. Like, everyone is saying it's going to be a burial. it's Charlotte Flair walking over another young talent and whatnot. I think even if initially that was planned, you have like a face Charlotte, a heel Tiffany. I think that has been scrapped a long time ago. I think Tiffany's going over, man.
Now, the thing I think I think you have going for your side is like, how many championships is Charlotte already at? Isn't this bitch already at like 15? Like, that's kind of the problem, huh?
It's 15, yeah. She's two away from tying the record.
How many more title reigns can you give her before? And that's another aspect of it is the whole story of John Cena and Cody revolves around John getting to 17. And I think you would kind of diminish it if earlier in that program you have Charlotte basically tie that record. And it makes it.
She wouldn't tie it, right?
She would be tying.
He's going for 17. I think Charlotte has 15 right now. So.
No, she's 14. She's 14. Okay, she'd be at 15.
Yeah, I thought you were saying tying like the new record. Yeah. Okay. I think eventually she's a 14-time Women's World Champion. So I think eventually the storyline will be that she will catch up to her father. I don't know if she will catch up to John. I don't think so. I think what I actually have going for me is that Tiffany is also like a Triple H gal. So I think that factors in a bit. It's not someone from the old regime and whatnot. This is a gal that AJ has pushed quite a bit since he's been here. Like, they strapped the fucking rocket on her. Like, she was an NXT diva last year or something like that. And now she's like the woman's champion.
I'm trying to look this up. Oh no, she's at 14. Do you know when the last time she held a championship was?
When she beat Rhea or something like that? No.
No.
That's the one she got from Rhea, no?
December of 2022, where she won 14. Like at the.
I'm trying to. Oh, she beat Io Sky, I think.
The last time she won?
No, I'm trying to see where the last matchup. She won, yeah. Where is it? She failed to win on SummerSlam. No, I think the last one. Yeah, the 14-time Women's Championship came when she beat Ronda Rousey in under a minute to win the title.
For a while.
Yeah. I think that's when Ronda went away as well.
So, like, how long? I don't know.
So, yeah, that's before WrestleMania 39.
That's kind of the thing.
I think she's fully back because that she missed time because of an injury. I think now she's 100% back. But I still don't know. Like, I still don't think she's the type of woman that needs the title right now. I think that there's other paths she can pursue right now with this roster, which don't necessarily need her to have the title. And there's other things that she can do. She can be like the ultimate boss prior to getting to like the women's championship. Yeah. Because let's not forget this as well. She is what right now? She is 39 years old. Like, she's not getting any younger. She's approaching that John Cena territory as well. So I think she's a fan.
That's fair. 45. Yeah, he was 45. That's fair.
Well, yeah, but like when John left, he was what? 45 or something like that?
So I mean, yeah.
So she's approaching that territory right now.
That's fair.
And like that's at the end, maybe they he can. Wasn't maybe heavily they involved with the title as well. Like the last time he was involved was, you know, what?
He has a giant run, falls back into like the just below championship run, and then, you know, when they want to do the storyline of tying and breaking the record, then they go in that direction. So yeah, okay.
He gets yeah. They pull that light. Yeah. So Cena right now is 47. Mm-hmm. I think around 40 was the time in which like Suplex City became a thing, and he got squashed by Brock. So that's around the territory that she's coming. She's going to be like the last Suplex big boss, and she's eventually going to win the titles, I think, but not right now.
Okay.
Young, that I'm saying that's around the age in which John Cena was okay doing those things. So. But yeah, I think Tiffy is going to retain this one. And it's going to do massive things for a title run, because like the title run hasn't actually had any sort of like big names in it. She hasn't defeated any big names. It's been mostly Nia Jax. It's been some, I think it was like Bayley or something like that was in the mix as well. It was something like that. But it's not been a memorable reign for your first reign. I think she beats Charlotte.
I don't know.
What do you think?
Even though
okay, so right now with disagreement,
to say this, when I look at Charlotte and I look at Tiffany just side by side, Charlotte still feels like a step above, and she has more of an aura to her, more of a gravitas to her. Not only in the way she presents herself, but the way she—I don't know—but I still feel like Tiffany isn't there.
I don't know. I think she does, but I think the way the fans are completely against her, like,
that's fair.
Absolutely against her, I think it takes some of that shine away. Okay. After that, you have, like, maybe one of the two most meaningless matches in this card. You have the Raw World Tag Team Championships, which is War Raiders versus The New Day. I have no idea why this title is being defended at Mania, but not the SmackDown tag titles. But here we are. Okay, I think it's very clearly that the New Day will win. Otherwise, the heel turn would have been for nothing.
I like some of the work that they've done with the heel turn, but
I just don't see.
Know, just to have this. And that's kind of the thing. Like, you have this build-up, you have this emotional, like,
overall
detachment
sort of
from Big E, because, you know, unfortunately, in all likelihood, he's not coming back. And you coalesce this with a victory over the fucking Viking Raiders? Or potentially. So, but, like, I don't know. I feel
War
like...
Raiders now.
I feel like it's not worthy
it feels
of the
lackluster.
Stuff the New Day did before. I think that, and I understand Jey Uso's in the main event right now, but I feel like something that would have just put it all together is like the Usos versus the New Day for that title. Yes.
Now it's flipped. The ones that
and
have
I
always been
why
heels are now faces, and the ones that
Jay
have always been faces are now heels.
But at the same time, I think just for the New
but
Day...
But instead...
It kind of makes the change feel kind of vapid to me. Kind of like a... Bleh. You know what I mean?
It was all sort of a bit in vain, I think. Like... They started off hot. They had massive heat when they said, like, Big E, get off. They had massive heat for, like, a few weeks after that. But they really did nothing with it. Like, they didn't get the titles right away. They did nothing like that. They didn't even get matches at a point.
Yep.
And now they're getting a championship match for, like, a title that has basically no storyline attached to it. Like, they started this feud, like, a couple weeks ago at best. Meanwhile, the SmackDown title. But yeah. But meanwhile, the SmackDown tag titles, like, they've had meaningful storylines for a while now. Matches. You had, like, DIY having a run with it, then fighting with Motor City Machine Gun, then having the Hurt Business. Yeah, all of those were very good matches.
Pretty
you had
deadly.
Like the something the Pretty Deadly Duo or something like that. Those guys that came from Pretty Deadly, yeah. Those guys as well were involved in the mix. Like you had all of that storyline coming up for like months now, and instead you're saying fuck those titles and you're going for the Raw tag titles. I don't know. Feels kind of lackluster. I think it's very clearly a new day win. It's probably going to be the shortest match on the card as well. They won't have that much time available to them, if I had to guess. Yeah, probably. That's pretty sad. That's where they are. So, new day win here. We finally agree on one. Speaking of matches with little to no build, Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. Okay, that's a match. Guess it shows, in my eyes, this speaks more to how much Triple H likes Rey than anything else, like the respect that he has for Rey, giving him a slot in this card. Yeah, but Penta is doing other things, but this should be like pre-match, if anything. But having a Mania spot for Rey Mysterio versus El Gran Americano feels kind of lackluster. I don't know how you're gonna give a loss to El Gran Americano here, and it's like this new character that is Chad Gable. Especially when like the story should be how Chad Gable learned to beat luchadors. So this feels like a very clearly El Gran Americano win to me. Probably some shittery involved as well. But yeah, easy win. I don't know why this is in the card outside of the respect that they have for Rey, but it is in the card.
I got nothing.
So.
No, I think this builds up.
You think it's also Shatter? You think that they're giving the win to Rey?
Just saying the statement builds up Chadfield. Chad's been in... Chad was in a locker room with John Cena when John Cena was like... Super Cena. Like... Unfortunately, you're right.
But he never really got any sort of recognition back then. So now they've been doing it a bit more, but I feel like he has been hotter than he is right now. Like, at the time he was feuding with Sami Zayn, with Gunther and whatnot, like, he was hot then. Right now, I think it's cooled down a bit. I don't know what they do from here on out. I don't know what feuds are going to be available for him next. Like, this character seems designed to only beat luchadors.
I can't believe I'm suggesting this, and I don't.
What's next?
I don't think they should do this, but I think they should do this at the same time. So, like, Chad Gable has been at this for over a decade, right? He hasn't gotten as much traction as, you know, because he's a very talented wrestler. He has a very good match. He hasn't gotten the traction you would want. What if he did something, like, absolutely heinous, absolutely despicable that you think would be completely off the table? What if he beat Rey Mysterio and then unmasked Rey Mysterio, effectively retiring him? It would be.
I don't know.
It would be the most heinous thing I think I've seen in a long, long time.
I understand it from the Eat standpoint. Yeah, it would be nuclear Eat. I'm just not sure if WWE would pull the plug on that, like without giving him like
That's fair.
Retirement tour, without making this search of a big deal, like putting his career on the line, like
that's
just.
Fair.
Out of an end of a match, very randomly taking off his mask and like retiring him, doesn't seem like something
but
I've been surprised before.
Oh my god, yes. That's kind of the thing. Like, what do you do to make
it will get heat for sure?
Give off what you wanted to give off, I guess. No?
I just don't think if this has much to give off right now. I think the payoff to all of this, this has been a storyline going on for like months right now. Like, the dude went to fucking Mexico to learn how to beat luchadors. So I think the payoff here might be like whoever taught him to beat luchadors, I don't know if that was ever revealed, I don't think so, comes out and helps him in the end, beating Mysterio, Mysterio getting screwed by someone from his past or someone that has a connection to him. I don't know, you could pull it like a Chavo Guerrero or some shit. And be like the someone screwing Ray here. I think that's the most payoff you're gonna get. You're gonna get a Chad Gable win. You're probably gonna get a Ray getting screwed by someone. Helping out El Gran Americano or Chad Gable, whatever you want to call him. And yeah, that's basically it, in my opinion. I don't think there's gonna be a major payoff. This is another bathroom break. A smaller one because it's probably a better match than what War Raiders versus the New Day, but purely off of the story being so lackluster, like the implications on it being so small, I think it's not going to get a whole lot of big attention to it.
Think so? Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. Especially with... I'm not going to lie, you're probably right. Safe. Keep it safe.
Okay.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it safe. I think that's going to be the path here. After that, you probably have a squash match or something like that with Jade Cargill versus Naomi. They're still building Jade, and this is probably a good person to sell on Jade. So the story here is pretty clear. Like, Naomi took Jade out. Jade took Naomi out. So now they have a matchup. They have a vengeance. One against the other. Jade is definitely going to go over. I don't know how else you're going to book this. You're not going to give, like, Jade's first pinfall loss, like, straight on her to, like, Naomi. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. She's still being built up. Apparently she was off a while. I don't think she was injured, or at least that's the reports out of the locker room, was that she wasn't really injured. She was more like so taking time off and honing on her skills, both on the mic and at the ring, which didn't go over well with the rest of the talent, as you would imagine. So now you have Jade versus Naomi. I think this is going to be a very clear Jade Cargill win. Maybe even a slight squash match here for Jade. And yeah, I think this is going to be... I take back what I said about War Raiders and New Day being on the match with the lowest amount of tag available to them. It's probably going to be this one. Entrance alone for Jade. It's going to take off a while. But outside of that, I don't see much for this match to go on. So.
Sorry. My thing was cut off. You're talking about Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair and Naomi.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no Bianca here. Bianca is obviously somewhere else.
Two best friends.
She's very sad about all of this, but she couldn't care less.
Let them fight it out and, you know, take the side of the winner. That's... yeah. Fuck making decisions or, you know... having some kind of message that you should do the right thing or what's right and what's wrong. I don't know. I'll just side with the winners. Because do you know why? Do you know why she did that, Alex?
Yeah.
Because she's American.
Why is that? You need the sound of an eagle or something
right
here.
That right away.
Every time we mention America, an eagle will pop out. See? That's what we need. Because we mentioned America a lot, so. All right, but you sort of agree with me, no? This is going to be an easy Jade Cargill win. They're not giving her a first loss in this spot, right?
If she kind of deserves it.
Yeah, she's just still being built up to be a bit better than what she is right now. She's not 100% there. I think the end product is going to be fine. I think she has decent charisma. She has the looks for sure. Like, wrestling-wise, it's still quite not all there, I would say. To put it lightly.
And that's kind
it's
of
still
the
a bit botchamania like, at that's, times. But, yeah. All of that said, this is probably the match. Yeah. And she's been
she
at
has.
This for a while.
She has.
She's like a worse. She's like a worse Logan Paul,
anything.
Isn't she?
Good.
Nope, I did not.
A worse Logan Paul?
But she's like a worse Logan Paul, isn't she? I think so, because like if you look at the thing when they were coming up. Take away Logan's fame. He's still a massive athlete. But he needs to rehearse his matches quite a bit to be right there. Like, he has the mic skills and whatnot. But the wrestling ability, although there due to athleticism, it's still not 100% there from the actual wrestling standpoint. And I think that's similar enough to Jade. But, like, she's not as athletically gifted. I think the looks are there, but the athleticism in a whole is not as good as Logan Paul's. And she probably needs to rehearse her matches quite a bit. Like, it seems like it's
so
spot. And after
Paul,
that, it's kind of hardly winging
Logan
it
Paul.
For her. Yeah. Maybe
right,
less
so
of a shit.
Alex,
person.
Unfortunately, you asked for something and
but
I had to make
wise.
It happen. So. No, I don't. It's perfect. It's perfect the
you
way
need
it is,
to
Alex.
That down a
it's
whole
perfect
lot.
The way it is.
By the way, you do. The listeners are gonna bleed from their ears when they hear that. All right. So now we have the American ego. That's perfect. Okay, for this match, Jade or Naomi, it's Jade, right? For you as well? Second to last match here, the U.S. Championship. It's LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu. Story so far has been that Jacob Fatu has sort of been beefing with LA Knight, with Solo, with Braun Strowman as well. It's been a bit all over the place. LA Knight as well. I think there's going to be some sort of interference here. I don't know if Jacob Fatu is getting the win clean here. I think he's probably leaving with a title. But someone else is going to interfere in this, either against Fadu, but Fadu still overcomes because someone else interferes with LA Knight, something like that. I think you're going to see a debut of another Samoan coming off the ranks here and interfering in this matchup. But I think Jacob probably gets his first title at Mania. LA Knight is sort of like in that role of he is the placeholder for the title, while others are going off the rank. So,
glorify Jey Uso.
Glorify Jey Uso.
Okay. Okay. Ah. Okay. I can accept that. I can.
No. He's a better Jey.
No.
Sorry.
Okay. I can kind of accept that.
Jey Uso was the glorified.
After all, he did tell
LA
Logan
Knight.
Paul where he can stick all of those bottles of crime.
All right.
Yeah. No.
They think he retains.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Jacob Fatu, the new U.S. champion.
No, no, I don't think it's going to be clean. I think if it's clean...
Like, I believe it's going to be...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The burial. If he loses clean, it will.
Oh, you think it's going to be a burial for LA Knight? Okay. So, and Yoli seems to be in this sort of stance in which it's... like, fans are behind them, but WWE never really seems to be fully behind them. So, kind of a weird state that he's usually in. He didn't get the title when he was super hot. He got the title when he was okay-ish, in terms of hotness. So, it's a bit like TNA blundering Joe Hendry. That's actually like he's
WWE's Joe Hendry.
Yeah, I think like the catchphrase, the age as well, the moveset is sort of like it's not like they're great wrestlers. They tell great stories, but they're not like the most wow wrestlers out there. They're not a high flyer. They're not like the technical masters. They're not anything like that. They're very solid, good wrestlers who tell great stories on the mat.
Do you get your jollies off hating like all things that are fun? Like is that what you do? Is that your thing? You're just like, yeah, this is fun and all, but like,
is it not good?
It's fun, but is it good? In fact, you hate the Eagles so much that you refuse to admit they were good they like smashed the Kansas City Chiefs, and even then you kind of like had this time where you were like, no, they really didn't get smashed. The Eagles didn't earn this. No. You were still in denial after it took you like that night of like just like, oh, I'm gonna have to say this. I'm gonna have to say the Eagles are good. It took you a night of like self-reflection and probably a dark room like Aaron Rodgers did to like come to the realization that after the Eagles won the Super Bowl that, oh, by the way, the Eagles were a good team and they were a good team all along. Oh my God!
I've still not come to that realization. Still holding on hope that next year I'm going to be proven right. But that's a story for another day. No, I like those sort of characters. I don't think they should get what the fans think they should get. Because I don't think they're that level of excellence. Okay. Main event of night one. Triple threat match. It's Seth, it's Roman, it's CM Punk. So Punk has cashed in his favor. And the favor was to have Heyman on his side. But then last week on Raw, Seth Rollins was about to stump Heyman's head in, and then he doesn't. And then he says that Heyman has a favor. Now holds him a favor instead. So the big thing is, who's leaving Mania with Heyman? Is it Punk? Is it Rollins? Is it Reigns? I feel like leaving with Rollins doesn't make sense, because there's probably very little guys that are better at the mic than Rollins. And like that's Heyman's big role right now, I think. I think it makes sense for him to leave with Punk after like a double cross in which is it looks like he's about to go with Seth, and then he crosses Seth to keep his allegiance with Punk. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think Punk wins this. It's probably going to be a pin on Seth. Roman isn't hitting a pin here. I think Punk wins this. I think Punk will have Heyman going on for him for a while now. And it's probably going to be a feud of Punk and Reigns at some point for Heyman and whatnot. But yeah, I think this is how it's going to go. I think Punk wins this. Probably double cross on Heyman. And yeah, Punk gets his moment, his WrestleMania moment.
So I think there's another element to this that I think that isn't being talked about, because I get it. It's Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman is one of the most important things in the business right now. But Alex, riddle me this. Has Roman Reigns ever pinned Seth Rollins? The answer is no. He has not. He has not. I don't think he's beaten Rollins via decision.
Has he never pinned Rollins?
Potentially, and that's why I think.
But could that maybe then be the feud that they're going
for? The only other option I think they have is to have either Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns pin one CM Punk. That's kind of the thing, is I think the match is kind of dictated by Punk and goes through Punk. What Punk does essentially decides, because they're not going to give that away. Even though WrestleMania is a good time to give that away, give Roman Reigns pinning Seth Rollins for the first time, I don't think that's the time. I don't think it's the way to go about it, because here's the thing. Rewind to last year's WrestleMania. What happened with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins?
Right. Roman.
Think of the
think of the instead of taking out Cody, like, took out Rollins.
Think like Rollins of done the to him. Storytelling decision that is. I chose to take out my personal grudge against Seth Rollins over extending the longest reigning championship in modern WWE history. And you're telling me that somehow that doesn't matter, that's not gonna like factor into the end result? You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. And here's another beautiful part of it. I think that how Roman Reigns feels, or this is the storyline, this is not real, but how Roman Reigns feels about Seth Rollins, I think Seth Rollins feels about CM Punk. I think Seth Rollins would cost himself a match just to get one on CM Punk.
Yeah, and okay, so you're thinking some sort of redo, but this time it's Rollins on Punk.
Or maybe Rollins. They could do that. Cashes in
on that to get the win.
I do believe that. You don't think Punk is eating a pin?
I don't think Punk is hitting the pin. And I don't think Reigns is hitting a pin. So whatever happens, Rollins is hitting a pin.
I don't.
But it works for both sides.
Well, CM Punk got to lose.
Yeah, because he's the one with the least to lose right now. CM Punk is like the new guy, the new face back in. I don't think like his first WrestleMania back. He's hitting a pin.
Right.
He was at Mania last year, but only as like a figure.
It's either Rollins or it's either Punk or it's Reigns. but I do lean on Punk because I don't think you can give the Seth Rollins Roman Reigns angle away. And that's why. So, go ahead.
But could it be? Could it be that somehow, some way,
sure,
one of them, so one of Seth or Roman, costs the other the match, and Punk takes advantage of it with Eamon involved somehow, and then you keep the Rollins Reigns angle going. Yeah, and then
Rollins would have cost him something again.
And Punk goes on to a title match.
Rollins cost him his longest reigning championship. Rollins cost him Paul Heyman. So.
Yes.
Sure.
Rollins cost him a win at his 10th
But either way, I do think it's Punk and Reigns coming out of WrestleMania with that victory. I'm leaning on Punk because I think, like, the way you don't give away the storylines is to have Punk, you know, walk away from WrestleMania a victor.
Yeah. I agree. I think that makes the most sense. Plus, you get him, like, the WrestleMania moment. You get him the WrestleMania main event win, which is always wanted. So you take that out of the way. That's no longer a thing for him going on in storyline. And, like, you don't need Reigns to take the pin, which is most definitely what you do not want to have it happen. And, like, Rollins. Like, Rollins is the ultimate horseman. He, the workhorse, he will do whatever you need him to do. Taking a pin really doesn't hurt him anything, so. Yeah, I think it's gonna be Punk. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Reigns, but I think it's Punk with a pin on Rollins. And that's how night one ends. And that leads us to night two. Night two, okay, let's start with the match that has no implications. AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. Going on by the wrestling tropes, it's going to be a good match. I think it's going to be a good match. But going on by the common wrestle tropes, I think AJ Styles has a match tonight with Karrion Kross. I think Logan interferes. AJ Styles takes a beating. And following the wrestling tropes, AJ Styles goes over at Mania.
Yeah.
I think so.
Think about this, though.
Either guy can really take the pin. Okay, they are not in a position to be a main eventer anytime soon.
Logan Paul. What happened before Logan Paul and AJ Styles, you know, got into this feud leading up to WrestleMania? Logan Paul said that he signed long-term with the company. He said that he's going to be more of a full-time wrestler. He said he's going to do all these things. So what better way to build him into a closer to full-time schedule than having him beat AJ Styles and giving him that momentum moving forward for the rest of the year?
I think it makes sense. I think it also makes sense to give the win to AJ and maybe build him as a more credible mid-card sort of threat to the mid-card titles and whatnot. Because I also think that makes sense. Honestly, this could go either way. I'm saying AJ because I think AJ is going to get beaten up today. And following the tropes, it usually means the guy that gets beat up usually wins the pay-per-view afterwards. So that's the only reason why I said AJ. But I think either guy could win this. I don't really see an issue. You could build a storyline for both. But I really don't care about this match, dude. I think it's going to be a fun match. But I don't think it's going to be a match that really has any sort of impact.
Well, then if you're not interested, get on to the next one. I think, Paul, you think AJ, but you also seem like you don't care either way. So
I think it's probably... Yeah, exactly. After that, you have the another match that I really don't care a whole lot for.
What?
Sin City Street Fight of Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre.
Sin? S-I-N? Like the devil?
A Sin City Street Fight, which is basically... Okay. Yes.
The city. Devil!
Yeah, because it's in Las Vegas. So yeah, a Sin City Street Fight. This is basically like going back to Old Mania when they were just doing team matches, like a Philly street fight when the event is in Philly. And it's just a street fight. It's a no DQ match.
That's it.
It's Drew versus Damien. Drew got kind of screwed, in my opinion. Like, not having anything better to do at Mania after the year that he had last year. It's not great for him. Damien is a good worker. He's a good wrestler. But I don't think this has much to stand on. I don't think this has great legs. I don't think this has, like, a great story behind it. So it is certainly a match that is happening. And it's probably going to be a good match between these two. I think Drew has sort of has to win this. But they're probably going to make it so Drew wins this, but makes Damien look super strong.
Drew wins, but makes Damien look super strong. I know they're trying to build Damien up as like this kind of like, I'm going to call him a tweener. Like, he's between the top of the roster, like championship material, and just in the fringe just below that. And I mean, I guess Drew's kind of there too. But I don't know. To me, it's Drew. I don't think I want Damian Priest to win. Is that bad to say? Like, I think, I think just based on the year Drew's had,
I don't want him to win.
Drew
either,
has contributed more to storylines, to the company in general, at least in my opinion, than Damian has. And I think that, like, if I wanted to build one of these two up with the WrestleMania, and I want it to be Drew, but that's just me. Because once again, Drew was right all along. He was always right.
He was, and I think these guys are sort of similar. They are upper mid-card. They are they can most definitely, and they have in the past, be in the world title picture, the World Heavyweight Championship. So I think they are upper level, mid-carder type of guys that they're sort of like, when needed be, they are main event sort of guys. And they sort of like, none of them have anything to do, so they just like mix them up, one versus another. I think they're in a place in which like a win here doesn't really improve anything for them, and a loss here really doesn't hurt them all that much. So I want Drew to win because Drew had a great 2024. Drew should probably have a good 2025, and Damian Priest is sort of like, I don't know.
You think he's a tad overrated?
I feel like Damian Priest is a tad overrated. I'll tell you that much right now. I think he was put in the World Heavyweight Championship picture.
See, I think that's fair.
A bit sooner than I would like to.
I think, but at the same time, like, is that not just a
hey, see, we're a great
situation of circumstance. Like, they had Damian win the Money in the Bank, and then they made him, you know, wait what feels like a year to cash it in. And then his title reign came, and his title reign, unfortunately for Damian, came while you had people like CM Punk on the horizon, while you had Gunther, you know, just ending his longest intercontinental reign in history. Like,
And they sort of sacrifice
and that's
this
another
reign
thing, like,
for a Finn Balor feud.
And that's another thing, like post WrestleMania,
which really didn't do anything for Damian. Honestly,
you know, so by the time Damian's reign ended, people were excited for him to come back. Rollins took an extended break, so Rollins wasn't there after Mania to get surgery. Roman wasn't there. Like, all, it feels like they gave him the belt because all they knew a lot of their heavy hitters weren't going to be there until later in the year. And yeah, and now they're all here. The roster looks amazing.
Yeah, he was the guy to dwell down the fort a bit there.
Yeah. But you just can't put him back there now.
He can go back to the mid level.
You used him as this, you know, champion.
Off you go.
I think you could put him back in the title picture for the US and the Intercontinental titles. But it's just that the IC title, as we're going to talk about, it has such a good story going on for them right now, which has been going on for a while. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense what is happening right now. And I think eventually, when we talk about that match, I think eventually Damian is going to face the person who I think is going to win the IC title there. Because there's still some story there that you can do. So eventually, I think that's where we're going to. And yeah, I think Drew is gonna go on to face for the US title. I think Damian is going to go on to face for the IC title. I just feel like the timing right now, it wasn't right for these guys. They had like nothing else to do at this point. So move on. All right, we move on. There's there's four matches left for us to talk about. I think let's introduce some women's title. Let's talk about the women's tag team championship. It's Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. I'll tell you that much. Like, Lyra Valkyria is another one of those gals that is just like, she's okay in the ring. She's a bit overhyped. From all of the, she has a bit of that heat going with the woos as she's walking down on the ring. But I think there's a whole lot in there for the entrance. There's not a whole lot there in there for the in-ring performances. And yeah, it's kind of weird that the IC Women's Champion is facing for the Women's Tag Championship in this card. But it is WrestleMania. There's only a limited amount of slots available. I think the story here is going to be that Liv and Raquel retain because Bayley's going to betray Lyra. Bayley has this history of betraying the partners that she usually has. The character is really stale right now as a baby face. When she faced Lyra, she didn't look too happy when she lost to Lyra, and it was fairly clean loss. I think it was like a schoolboy roll up or something like that. That lost her the match, and I think she's gonna turn on Lyra. She's gonna cross her the match, and she's probably gonna keep feuding with Lyra, probably getting the title off of Lyra. And having a run as an heel there for a bit. And yeah, and that's just how I see this one going. Because outside of that, there's not a whole lot of history between this group, these two groups. So this was kind of put together fairly late because they need to have Liv in the card somewhere. She's like one of the biggest draws, one of the biggest performers for the women's division. She's probably like the hottest star for the women's division last year. She had one of the best years. With the whole Dom and the whole Rhea storyline that was going on. So I think they needed to have her in the match. And I think it's Bayley just betraying Lyra.
Stock in, I'm not calling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You think they retained though, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's all we need. It's not gonna be. This is probably gonna be the shortest match of night two, I would say.
sell them.
And it's going to be a whole lot of live.
I'm still so surprised.
Because they need to sell that merch, oh, well, maybe. Whatever.
Okay. After that, okay, let's round up the women's titles here. It's a triple threat for the women's world championship. It's Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. So I don't know. I feel like Rhea wasn't really on the right here to get herself in this match. She lost clean to Io Sky. She blamed Bianca for clapping. Okay. Then she sort of like got into the contract dispute, the contract signing, and just like signed her name in the contract, because like apparently lawyers can't go over that. And can say like, okay, this is not happening. So she got a match like that, apparently. The whole storyline here is that both of those women are completely disrespecting Io Sky. Yeah. So you just know that Io Sky is winning.
They're trying to build Io Sky back up, too.
Heck, again, Triple H gal, I wouldn't even be shocked, because Rhea is sort of that type of woman that really can't hit the pin. Bianca also, like, clean pin wouldn't be great for her. I wouldn't shock that one. Jade Cargill interferes and attacks Bianca, turning heel once and for all, and Io gets the win like that. Or Io pins both women, a bit like Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan and Edge, in which like Bianca Belair, it's the finisher on Rhea. Io Sky, it's the finisher on both, or something like that. And manages to pin both women to get the win.
We do.
Because you have a lot of heels right now winning. So you have the Liv Morgan team winning. You have the Drew Priest winning. Logan Paul maybe winning. I think in the IC title, the heel is going to win as well.
Well, again, the card is not
there
official, but you're right. If they do have all those matches like going potentially the way, you know, we're predicting them, you do need to split that up. So, but you think, you know, that's a precedent to, you know, in your mid card and specifically during your main event, and you're going to see the baby face is winning.
Yeah, and this is probably the match, and this is projection, of course, from me. This hasn't been announced, but to me, this is probably the second to last match. This is before Cody versus John. So I feel like after all of those heels winning, a good feel-good story about a baby face makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think the way you built Io here is like she's been undermined in this whole feud.
Give me pin is two
you
women
make her
at the same
pin
time, kind of
both
vibe,
women,
so.
And this is just it. So none of them really take the pin, per se. Yeah, she doesn't. But with the finisher, like her finisher is via the top rope, so I could see like Bianca hitting the finisher, the kiss of death on Rhea, and then as she's spinning her, Kyo makes the finisher and manages to pin both that way. Not necessarily that she takes out both, but that she takes out Bianca, and with two finishers applied on her, it makes Rhea look stronger.
So you
that's
really
how I see this one going. You think Kyo also retains?
So you really think that she's going to be in a match against Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, and she's going to come out on top in that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, was also was the underdog versus two great figures of the men's division. Back. And I'm not sure if we're going to the same place.
Don't compare to Christian.
I'm going back into the 2000s. Okay. Is it like wrestling? No, not Chris Jericho. It's a Chris, but it's not Jericho. It's the one Chris that doesn't exist for the WWE.
But it makes sense. It makes sense. It is the guy. If you think about this, she was the girl from New Japan, right? If I'm not mistaken, she came from New Japan Pro Wrestling. She came from the outside of the WWE sphere. Chris Benoit came off of the WCW, out of the WWE sphere as well. He was facing versus two of the biggest stars in the company at the time, in Triple H and Shawn Michaels. He was the underdog, and he managed to beat both.
I think
Rhea's
going over on that.
So I think it's going to be something similar.
I think Rhea goes over has been a common thread in.
I think Rhea's that would be too obvious.
The last, I'd say, I think 3 years.
I agree. I just don't see it here. Like, the way that he won the title at Raw, I think she's also very much a Triple H gal as well. This has been a team. Plus, like, I don't see a card in which there's maybe, like, a single or even two baby faces winning it. I think there's gonna be baby faces win. And right now, we have none. projected, and I think we're right on a lot of these as well. So
you can have your EO, you know, you can be in your EO fan club with, you know, your two other people, but, you know.
Okay. I'm actually not the biggest EO fan, but I think she's going to go over here.
The way
it makes sense.
It looks good in my head.
That I framed it in my mind.
This is my brutality!
Yes, exactly. Okay, so the second to last... This is my... The second to last match, and I think this is probably the opener of night two. It's the IC title. It's the IC title. And you have Braun Breaker versus Dominic Mysterio.
Say that again. Dominic Mysterio, Penta, Finn Balor. Who else?
And I'll tell you what right now.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Braun, the champion.
No!
And
don't do this!
I think
don't
this is
do
a
this.
Dominic Mysterio win.
Don't do it!
If I had to bet any outcome in this card, in this whole card, between night one and night two, this one is probably the one that I'm most confident in. Is Dominic Mysterio winning? They've teased it already with him holding the title like Eddie was holding the title, same shirt and whatnot. I think he's going to pin Finn. It continues the whole Judgment Day storyline. Finn is out of the Judgment Day. Finn is now a face again, much like he did to Edge. As well, I think Dominic wins this. I think Priest comes to face Dominic for the title next. Dominic is gonna be like the lie, cheat, and steal sort of heel. Like, he has the heat still. He has never won the sort
Dominic
of single
Mysterio's
title. I think it's his
time right now.
I think he's winning
the
it with the help of Judgment Day.
Do
who are gonna
know
betray Finn?
How fucking much work they did to make that fucking belt prestigious again. Between giving it to Gunther and giving him the longest reigning championship, to having Sammy win it and having a relatively short reign to lose to Braun Breaker in impressive fashion. Braun is just an impressive dude. And we're talking about catapulting Braun to one of the title pictures post losing this belt. And you're going to tell me that after doing all of that fucking work, they're going to give this belt to Dominic Mysterio. Oh my god.
One of the most over guys they have in the roster right now.
Clear as day?
I think this one is clear as day. They're giving this to Dom. And you can frame it like Finn is in this to hit the pin like he always does. Because Penta can't really take a pin.
Yeah, I don't think Braun's taking it. If Braun loses the belt, I don't think he's taking it.
It's great for him in the long term.
Now that you suggested Dominic Mysterio, I got to do something that hurts you and your soul.
Yeah, and I don't think Penta is
going... Wait, what? That doesn't hurt you and your soul? That's not soul hurting. What? Hold on, we are going back to this. But anyway... that was not...
Now, I think this is going to be a very good Dominic Mysterio win over Finn Balor. Finn Balor is going to get betrayed by every single Judgment Day member. And Dom Dom is winning the title. The way this Judgment Day storyline is still alive after like 3 years, it's quite impressive. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
I did not expect this to be.
Either. Still but it worked. Standing.
Yeah, the dude who had this idea is now out of the company, and it's still going strong, man. Whenever it looks like it's dying, they managed to find a way to revitalize it, and this isn't going to be the way now.
It does make Alex sad, so I could.
They're going to take out Finn. Finn is going to feud with Dominic.
There you go, buddy. At some point. But you can't copyright free, so you know.
Copyrighted.
Congratulations, we get any money. So, like, good luck. What are you gonna say that we cost you like 10 cents? Oh no! Oh no! Not 10 cents!
Oh my god! How am I gonna survive this? I'll never be able to financially recover from this. So yeah, I think Dom Dom is going to go over with a pin
Alex.
Over Finn. What do you think?
I think they're giving this bullshit to Penta.
Yes.
It makes too much sense!
You know, that makes too much sense. I don't think he's jumping straight into the title. It's going to be a process, in my opinion. So, to me, it's either Finn win or the Dominic win.
I still think it's going to be Penta. But.
And it's a pin
because again,
over
you
one
have,
another.
You need the babyface wins. What does the babyface win? The babyface win is Penta.
Okay.
Oh my god, EO win. Forgives all sins of the last 5 minutes.
You have
EO
winning already.
Heel victory.
And you know what?
Here we go.
Gio is not the only babyface winning here. Let's go on to the main event of the evening. Cody Rhodes versus John Cena. I'll drop it right now. Cody Rhodes is retaining. I'll tell you how this one is going to go. And this is the idea that I have for John Cena heel turn. From the moment that I saw it, this is how I envisioned it. John Cena is going to be chasing this title until around SummerSlam. And he's going to be a heel until around SummerSlam. And that's the point in which he's going to be like, okay, I've tried this heel route. I've not been able to achieve my goal. It has cost me everything. It has cost me the fans. It has cost me the connections that I have with the WWE universe and with WWE. It has cost me my friends.
And you think this is
going
to be after SummerSlam?
I'm done with Rock. I'm done with all of this. I'm going to go back to the roots.
I think this is how it ends.
And then the last...
Go on. Sorry.
And this is going to be around SummerSlam. And the last 6 months of the year. No. And I think the last 6 months of his career, it's going to be him gaining back the WWE Universe. It's going to be his redemption tour for the last 6 months. And in this redemption tour, he's winning the championship. This is going to be the culmination.
his second to last pay-per-view, he's winning the championship. He's going to win the 17th as a babyface. After, like, going heel didn't work out, he gave the fans what he wanted, what they wanted. They heel John Cena run. He turned back to the fans. And now fans get babyface John Cena. Kids are crying. Everyone is crying. Everyone gets to go home happy. And then he drops the title to someone. He drops the title to Punk. He drops the title to Orton. Like something
it.
Like that.
I like it a lot. End. And I think John Cena losing. But Cody's retaining at Mania. Not only makes sense just from like your little headcanon standpoint, like but I think it advances the story. Okay, well now I have to win Money in the Bank. Well now I have to cash in Money in the Bank before, you know, if I win it before the year's up. I can't cash it in at next year's WrestleMania. I said I'm not going to be at next year's WrestleMania. So,
and yes, and now that he is basically a figure of the new authority, he gets all of that handed to him for free. He gets the Money in the Bank handed in to, for free in terms of like a spot in the Money in the Bank. And he gets help in the Money in the Bank.
I like that.
And he never manages to get over the hump.
But God damn it, I want 8 months of John Cena telling everyone I told you so, of him rubbing it in Cody Rhodes' faces, of him saying, you know, I did this and it worked. Ha, here. I want John Cena to win this goddamn match. I want Cena to be the title holder of the most championships in WWE history at WrestleMania with, what, 8 months left to go in the year. And I want basically an I Told You So tour. Do you know why I want this?
Yeah.
Because maybe if they do that, maybe.
Why?
Just maybe. The fans will cheer Charlotte Flair when she goes to do it herself. You see how I brought it all back? You see how I brought it back with the logic? You see how I was out there? I was out there far into the sea. You thought I was gone. You thought, oh, God, Angelo's too far gone. And then I brought it back with something that made you think, wait a minute. Wait, no. I brought you back. Agree or disagree, Alex?
I think whenever Charlotte wins the record-breaking or the record-tying championship, I think the fans are going to be with her, because I think the fans' biggest problem with her is that whenever she comes back, she buries the talent again. It's like Cena. Whenever he was around, he was the one burying people. Whenever Triple H was around, he was the one burying people. And I think that's why fans don't like her. But when she eases off of the title, takes a step back, gets the respect back, earns her dues by taking some losses to some mid-card people and whatnot, I think the fans are going to be okay with her winning. I'll tell you why I also don't think John is winning. Because right now, John is planned for a bunch of appearances. Like, planned for appearances throughout, I believe it's like every single month, at least 2 or 3 times a month, until like August right now. He's supposed to be at Backlash. He's supposed to be at like 4 dates between Mania and Backlash. What's the pay-per-view coming up? Because I think he was also, I think he was supposed to be at the Friends pay-per-view as well, which is one after Backlash. So he's supposed to be at a bunch of those pay-per-views. And the thing with Cena right now is the fans don't get what they want. The fans don't get the new gear. The fans don't get the new music. The fans, and he said, when I win this, I'm going to be off. And you're never going to win. You're never going to see me again. And I don't think that heel Cena is going to go back on that. I don't think heel Cena is going to give them the pleasure of seeing that. So if he was winning, I don't think he would be scheduled for as many dates as he is right now. So that's why I think he's losing.
Television, you don't think maybe that he scheduled this many dates because they plan on giving him that championship and because they don't want a Brock Lesnar situation and they don't want the championship to go absent for multiple months at a time?
No, I don't think he would have said that. Like, I think in a scenario in which he wins and he is around, I don't think he says that the WWE Universe will ever see the championship again if he wins it. I think he takes that off.
You think they gave the plot away?
Now that he says it.
I think you're right.
Like, he's not winning the championship.
Damn it, I want you to be wrong.
And Cody is winning. I think they did.
That's like my biggest prediction right now.
I think it's Cody going.
Most people seem to think that Cena.
And maybe that
over.
Is the now fairly clean. The catalyst behind like they think that John Cena being over being the default position just in your circle because they want it to be true, so they're trying to talk it into reality or existence. Just like me.
Don't get me wrong, though. I also would like to see Cena winning. Because I think that's good. But right now, I'll tell you. In the betting houses, Cody to retain is plus 172. So, it's the favorite option right now is Cody loses the title. I'll tell you as well, for the IC title, Dominic is the favorite to win it. Drew McIntyre is like
minus 1,000
to win.
Drew, interesting.
Bianca is the favorite. Drew. Yeah. Bianca is like minus 200 to win. Jade is also like around -1,000 to win. Logan Paul is also around that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were sort of spot on a lot of things in our predictions. And yeah, John is around minus 200 to win as well.
That's... We're done.
So, okay. So I think we're done, right? We're done. We're done with WrestleMania. We've talked about every single... there's a match that we haven't talked because it's not going to get announced until SmackDown. And it's Randy Orton because Randy Orton had the match set with Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens had an injury.
He can't be at the WrestleMania this year. So I think it's either going to be Solo. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be either Solo, which... I'm not the biggest fan of Randy versus Solo, but taking Solo off of Mania also isn't great, I would say. Or it's going to be Randy versus Nick Aldis.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I think after Kevin announced he wouldn't be there, I think they should have transitioned to Randy into the Drew Damian Priest storyline. That's just me, though. Does it have any logic behind it? No, but nothing about this, what happened this last month is logical.
No, but it's a matchup of guys that don't have anything.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense.
That
it doesn't make sense, but it makes
the
sense.
A match of guys that have nothing else to do. And it would leave a slot open for the tag titles, the SmackDown tag titles, because right now we're a match short. Yeah, because we're a match short on day two right now, night two that is. Without Morton, so. It makes sense from that standpoint, but that's about it. Okay. So
mania?
I think that's all. I think that's going to be a great Mania. It's an unpredictable Mania as well. But it's going to be a fun one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I
thought it was a predictable one. I was like, yeah.
It's an unpredictable Mania. That's why I said. No. I think outside of EO, outside of Don, outside of Dominic, those are like my top three choices. Of matches that I think will be right.
And yep. we're still having Raw right now. It's about to start in like an hour, basically. We're still having SmackDown on Friday. So those things could change something.
I have nothing else to add other than we're back, baby. It.
And do you have anything else to add? So back.
When did this show is going to come out
when? Do you want to drop it tomorrow, Angela?
I want to drop it in an hour.
It comes on in about an hour.
When Raw is done? Okay.
Drop it when Raw is done. Yeah. So in about 4 hours. Yeah. Schedule it to drop in like 4 hours. I think that's
so you're
will
saying
be fine.
Midnight.
You'll
my
be listening
time?
To this just as Raw is about to end. I think it's 11. It's about to end. So. You can.
Okay.
It ends at 11? Yeah, so drop it when Raw is about to end, basically. And yeah, we're going to be coming back to record tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the first mock draft of 2025, of the show's first mock draft of 2025. We're going to be talking a bit about that because we haven't done any sort of draft content so far. And we're like a week away, week and a half away from the draft. So we haven't been good boys, but we're going to be talking about the draft. We're going to be dropping shows about the draft. Stick around. I hope you enjoyed this one, guys. If you are listening to this on the Apple Podcasts app, on the Spotify app, just make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to turn on the auto downloads as well. That really helps out the show. Make sure to like and all of that, of those good things. If you're listening to this on the YouTube, which I think it's, I think you're still probably be able to because it's below 2 hours. But make sure to like, subscribe, turn on the notifications, all of those good things. And as always, guys, talk to you later this week.